T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night.
On Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night. On Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together tonight until midnight. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I generally never sort of pine for additional Twitter followers, but I'm approaching 2,000, which for me, I think is a decent number. I don't promote it. I do nothing except say it here occasionally. And my 12-year-old daughter, who is now surprisingly, or I guess not surprisingly, very much into social media to the point where she asked me for my debit card because she wanted to buy coins for TikTok and to get followers. So I let her have up to $20 worth of coins for TikTok. The next thing I know, I get a fraud alert from my credit card issuer that says, did you authorize $99.99 for TikTok? Turned out when I looked at my statement, she had spent hundreds of dollars gaining followers on TikTok. And now she has more TikTok followers, thanks to my credit card, than I do Twitter followers. So I need to go home tonight. And in the morning when I see her, I need to have surpassed her damn TikTok followers. Because the fact is, my 12-year-old is more successful on social media than I am. And that is a real problem for both me and my giant ego. So I'm hoping for some help here at Gilroy on Hoops. I'm not going to pay you the hundreds of dollars that she paid of my money on these damn TikTok coins, but I will provide you with 2 hours of fun content here tonight as we talk about the Boston Celtics. And you know, for months and months and months, I wanted to do shows strictly on the Celtics. And I was told, wow, you got to talk about the Red Sox. You got to talk about the Patriots. You got to talk about Antonio Brown. You got to talk about Gronk coming back or not coming back and manufacturing all that stuff. The fact is, the Boston Celtics have the best record in the NBA today. And because of that, that entitles me to the right to sit here and talk about them for a couple of hours. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me in studio right now from WEI.com, it's Nick Fryer. He writes about the Celtics. He tweets about the Celtics. He has a podcast about the NBA. This is all basketball all the time, Nick Fryer.
What's up, Gilroy?
So, Nick, I'm doing exceptionally well. With the exception of the fact that my daughter surpassed me on social media, I'm doing great.
That's tough to hear, man.
It is tough to hear. she is just a lot more savvy than I am, I guess. I don't know. But the Celtics are 6-1, tied for the best record in the NBA. That's all I could ask. You can't even look at me with a straight face right now because
it's tough, man.
It's awful.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like that happening before. How old did you say she was?
She's 12. She's 12.
But, I mean, she paid.
She did pay. And I guess that's how TikTok operates. I know nothing about TikTok other than her and her friends make these hilarious videos. I find them funny. But what I didn't realize was thousands of other people also find them funny, which makes me a little uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
I can see that, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean,
I'm not a parent, but these are one of the reasons I'm not a parent. I wouldn't want to deal with that.
Part of me wants to tell her, no, it's got to be private, just you and your friends. I don't want strangers seeing you, right? But the other part of me feels like if I take this particular situation and I lay down the law right now, know what she's going to do? She's going to find a way. And she's going to hide it from me. So instead of coming to me, instead of it being something that's known and talked about in my house, it's going to be something that becomes deceitful. And so I'm walking that fine line with a tween, right, who's at that stage in her life where she's got to choose pretty soon. Do I trust my parents? Are they advocates? Are they allies? Or are they the enemy for the next few years? It's a very difficult line to balance here.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
Oh, of course I have.
I didn't watch it till recently. I waited a while because I knew I was going to binge it like crazy. I shouldn't have done it during basketball season, but I did.
So hold on. You waited years. Like, yes. It's in year 3 this year going into season. So you waited years because you knew eventually you were going to binge it.
Well, when the first season came out, everybody was all hyped about it. And I was like, okay, whatever. Talk to me in season two.
Sure.
And then season two came along. Everybody loves it. I was like, okay. But I know myself. And everybody's telling me I'm going to like it. I got to wait a little bit because I'm not going to have any self-control. So I waited till now because I had nothing else to watch other than basketball. I wanted something different for a day. And I ended up finishing all three seasons in the course of a week.
Okay.
That's what I mean. I have no self-control when it comes to it.
When you find a good show, you binge it, right?
But I was going to say, Hopper, you should channel, you should, you know, look
my
what
inner
he
Hopper?
Did, yes, what he did in season three, that whole letter that he wrote at the end and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Hopper's not a bad example. He's not a bad example. He's done a good job with what he's got. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm not going to get into breaking down Hopper from Stranger Things here for the next couple of hours, because next time we're together in here, Nick, it could be next week, it could be 2 weeks from now, the Celtics might not be a first place team. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be sitting here talking about, okay, the Patriots have till the 30th of November to convince Gronk to come back. What do they have to do?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that because he's not coming back. So all the hours wasted on that, to me, should be spent talking about something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right
like
now, Celtics, I would rather talk about JD Martinez opting in because it's more relevant. At least he's playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the thing with Gronk. He is completely content and happy doing what he's doing right now.
Leave him be. He's fine. He's not coming back.
He's fine. He's not going to come on his white horse to save the season. Unfortunately, make a great story, but it's not going to happen. Meanwhile, your Celtics are in first place. And rather than sit here and you know, be celebratory and you know, give this team some praise and some credit for doing what most people that work at this station felt like they could not do, because all we heard, Nick, throughout the entirety of the offseason was, well, Kemba's a nice pickup, but yeah, they lost two star players, right? And we started to hear about how Al Horford was going to be harder to replace than Kyrie, and everybody had their thought, everybody had their opinion. But the fact is, what I said months ago, I think is starting to happen. And that's, look, we can talk about who they lost. We can talk about not having Kyrie Irving. We can talk about not having Al Horford. Nobody talks about Al Baines, who's just playing spectacular basketball right now.
I'm blown away by what he's done.
Aaron Baines is one of the best centers in the NBA through the first 3 weeks of the season. There's no doubt about it. Like, that's not me being a homer. That's not me exaggerating.
No. He shut down Ben Simmons the other night.
He's playing great basketball right now.
I never thought I'd hear those words uttered by any human being ever.
Solid backup sort of center. That was his role. That's how he carved out a great niche in the NBA.
Yeah.
Never was he talked about as one of the premier centers in the league. This might not hold up, but right now, as of today, he is one of the best centers in the NBA.
I wonder when he's the injuries start to pop up with him again. That's the one thing that I would be most concerned with. But other than that, he's been great defensively.
He's been great, right? But the Celtics, meanwhile, they, instead of sitting here talking about everything they lost, I said, well, look what they have right now. They do have Kemba Walker, who's a three-time All-Star coming off an All-NBA season. You do have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who absolutely, their progression became stagnant last year. But that happens, by the way, for second and third-year guys sometimes. And there was outside circumstances that came into play that we all know about, right, that could potentially have been to blame for stunting their growth. So if they take their next step in their progression, and if Hayward comes back healthy, then let's stop talking about what the Celtics don't have. Let's talk about what they do have. And so far, all three of those guys that were all question marks, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, they've been spectacular.
Yeah.
The Celtics are the only team in the NBA right now with three guys averaging north of 20 points a game, and Jaylen Brown's not too far behind, creeping up on 18.
Yeah.
So the Celtics are in a great place today. Listening to the station this week, though, I'm hearing my man Ordway going back to 1982 again, and he drives me crazy. And the thing with Ordway, and the brilliance that is Glenn Ordway, is that he gets all passionate about a take, and he digs, and he goes 1,000% in on that take on a particular day, right? And then he flip-flops because he's banking on the fact that the average listener isn't going to remember nor care about what he said before. So we're going to play this clip here of Ordway sort of railing on the Celtics, despite the fact that they're in first place, Glenn. Best record in the NBA, Glenn. Despite that, Glenn is suddenly worried about the Celtics' lack of depth and how their bench is going to do them in. And after we hear this, I'm going to tell you why this makes me so incredibly angry, and it makes Glenn define the word hypocrite.
Brad Stevens has got a major problem. He doesn't have a bench. He doesn't have a scoring bench. You know, you're going to really...
Carson Edwards?
You're going to depend on Carson. You're going to depend on Carson Edwards, who shot well last night.
As long as they play Cleveland.
Exactly.
You remember that game he had in the preseason against Cleveland?
He scored eight in a row.
Eight, nine threes?
Yeah.
He had Sexton on him during that game a little bit. Correct. So it's like
same thing all over.
Here we go. We got Cleveland again. He goes in. He just starts lighting them up.
If you watch
him
in these
Cleveland.
If you watch him in these other games.
Yeah. Not
okay.
So
all right. So they need bench help, and the other problem you have is you've got to get Marcus Smart with that first unit, especially late in games.
So Glenn is suddenly concerned with the Celtics' lack of depth. This is coming from Glenn Ordway, who used to rail on the Brad Stevens additions of the Celtics when they went 12 deep with Jonas Jerebko coming off the bench, okay? When depth was something that Brad Stevens would talk about and trying to make an 11, 12, 13-man rotation work, Glenn would say that's great for regular season wins, but in the playoffs, you need a 7-8-man rotation, and the team with the best player generally wins a series. So, you know, you can talk about that bench all you want, but it's meaningless come playoff time. Now he's sitting here giving the Celtics a hard time because they don't have a bench. So the question is, Nick, does Glenn have a point? Is there going to come a time, in your opinion, where the bench is what does the Celtics in?
No, absolutely not. You have four legitimate scorers on this team right now. Jaylen Brown is a legitimate scorer. He's showing that he's efficient. And, I mean, I know it was against the Hornets, but he came back from an illness last night. What was 5-for-9 from the floor? He's not trying to push the issue. But at the same time, he's taking advantage of a shot. I think if he was healthy in that game, he would have taken double-digit shots like he has been.
Right.
You have Smart, who's scoring off the bench, and I understand that that's not the guy you want to be scoring off the bench necessarily, but he's a better shooter than he was. And more importantly, that group is defense. You have Robert Williams, who's looked so much better than he did in the preseason. Grant Williams has looked outstanding. And then Smart, who, I mean, you heard Kevin Love the other night raving about him, saying he can cover Love, LeBron, Giannis. He can cover everybody.
So,
I don't care about the scoring. They don't need that. It's a nice luxury to have. If you want scoring, stick Jaylen Brown on the bench and have him come off.
But here's what's interesting to me is the fact that Glenn is talking about this tells me one thing. In the back of his mind, and he'll never admit this, but his expectations, I think, have started to change for the Celtics. Because when you sit here and you start critiquing their bench 7 games into the season, doesn't that tell you, Nick, that maybe he's looking at a bigger picture thing here where the Celtics could potentially contend in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good point, Gilroy. Yeah,
I think it is too, right?
I mean, how can you not? I mean, I think that looking at them now, at the beginning of the season, I had them losing in the second round of the playoffs for my like preview thing that I did. Now I look at it and it's like, well, I mean, they came back against the Bucks, no Jaylen Brown, and that definitely hurt them in the course of that game.
Yep.
They came back against them. They did well against the Raptors, who Siakam has looked outstanding this year to start the season. Why would I think that they're not going to be able to?
And you bring up Jaylen Brown, and that's the other point here that goes with what Glenn was saying. So not for nothing, for a team that doesn't have a bench, they missed their second best player, third best player, wherever you want to rank Jaylen Brown, for 50% of these wins that they have so far. You know what I mean? And when you're down a player of that significance and you're able to still continue to win games and win games against Toronto and win games against Milwaukee and win games against teams that aren't named the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I know, again, it was convenient because the Celtics had just beat the Cavaliers on the previous night. So, you know, you got Lou in the background. Oh, it's against the Cavs. So, you know, it doesn't really count. Funny man, you know, Lou Maloney. But the fact is, Lou doesn't want to talk about the fact that this team did beat Milwaukee. They did beat Toronto. Two teams that, look, most people are projecting them to have more wins than the Celtics and to finish higher in the conference than the Boston Celtics.
Right.
Those are quality wins right now. It's not like all 6 of these wins has been on the backs of horrendous basketball teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, my biggest thing with the win against the Cavs, and especially the win against the Hornets, is they're not deviating from what they're doing in the games against the Bucks and the Raptors. I know that they've been kind of growing as the season's gone along. I know it's still early, but my big thing is, Gilroy, they're still staying within their offense. They're not like Jason Tatum's not trying to take over a game. Gordon Hayward, yeah, he did against the Cavs, but it was very natural in the course of things. And that's important because I feel like in the past, guys have tried to be like, all right, tonight's the night, I'm going to get mine. And yeah, Jason Tatum hasn't been the story the last couple games, but I think he dropped 23 against the Hornets and 17 against the Cavs, and he's shooting 50% between those two games. So that's the kind of stuff that you need to see against those lesser teams, not just somebody going off and then having a free-for-all.
All right, so it is Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joined in studio tonight by WEI.com's Nick Fryer talking about the Boston Celtics, who are now 6-1, first place in their conference, first place in the division, and of course tied for the best record in the NBA. Is it sustainable? Is this something where we're going to look at the Celtics at the end of the season and say, wow, this team just won 58 games. How did they get there? Because right now, this team is playing that well. They're playing very well together. I don't want to go too overboard here right now, but based on what I've seen in the first 3 weeks of the season, we had significant questions going into the year that were going to determine just how far this team could go. First and foremost was Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker, it's easy to average 24, 25 points per game when you are the only option. And that's what he's been in Charlotte for all these years. So he has had carte blanche to do whatever he wanted out there offensively. So, of course, there were years where Ricky Davis put up 24 points a game here in Boston. The team sucked, but Ricky got his buckets. Am I wrong about that? No, like, no. Ricky got his buckets.
Yes, he did.
He had his get buckets brigade, and he did his thing. Okay? Yeah. So if you play for a bad enough team and you're a decent enough player, you can get yours. And people were legitimately afraid that that might be the trap that you're falling into with Kemba Walker. He's come here and he has thrived in Boston thus far. So he is a question that I feel like I'm very confident that that question's been answered. We know that Kemba can play in the system. We know that he can play while still sharing the basketball. He's more efficient than I thought he could be. He's not wildly efficient, still shooting just about 40% from the field, but that's going to improve. That number is drastically affected by the first game and a half of the year where he just couldn't shoot the basketball.
Yeah, that's true.
Getting his teammates involved. He's not a one-man show out there. And these were all legitimate concerns that people had.
What I like most right now about him, Gilroy, is how he can get to the free throw line in an instant. I mean, and repetitively, too. I mean, he did it against the Knicks. I think he went 14 times in the game before. I think against the Bucks, he went 15 times.
And right there, that is the biggest difference from this team this year compared to last year. They're getting to the free throw line, and it's not just Kemba. We talk about Gordon Hayward playing well. He's getting to the free throw line. Jason Tatum, no longer just settling for the mid-range jumper. He is not getting to the line as often as he should right now because he is going to the basket. He's making a concerted effort to draw contact. And Jaylen Brown, he's been getting the line as well this year. So they're clearly making this a point of emphasis in practice, a point of emphasis in meetings, because it was one of their biggest deficiencies as a team the entire year last year.
Yeah, Brad talked about a lot in the preseason. He actually said that Jaylen was the best guy on the team last year at doing that. And I think that includes Horford, Kyrie, everybody, because Kyrie was really good about eluding the contact. Tatum's still, yes, he's driving a lot more, and that's good and everything, but he's still having trouble getting the calls, and I feel like he's more concerned about drawing the contact instead of trying to finish, and then if you can get contact along the way, where Kemba is just very natural, I think partially because he's so small. When he gets hit, he goes flying, too.
I'm going to say something here that I hate myself for saying because I don't like judging players based on body language. I hate that conversation.
Oh, okay.
But is it just me, or is Jason Tatum carrying himself different this year?
Yeah, he definitely is. There's more confidence to his game, and I've seen it in the practice and everything. He's very comfortable with the young guys and everybody. Seems like he's having a good time all the time.
And he's making quick and decisive decisions on the floor. Not always the right decision, but he's no longer sitting there thinking about what he's going to do. When the ball swings its way over to Jason Tatum, he's either driving to the basket or he's confident enough making one move and pulling up from three. He's no longer, sort of dilly-dallying and then settling for a mid-range jumper as the shot clock winds down like he did last year.
Yeah.
And his decisiveness, I think, is making him that much better of a basketball player this season through seven games.
Yeah, I think so. And he's still taking his mid-range shot. And he said it. He's not going to not do it, but he's getting it in better opportunities. And he's not doing that, right in front of the three-point line, pulling up from there. Because that's the worst shot in basketball, when you just take that first step right in front of the line. But, yeah, and the thing is, Gilroy, and this is why I say bring it all back to Glenn, you don't need a bench that scores when you have four guys who are going to get a ton of shots, are showing improved efficiency pretty much across the board. Kemba's like the one exception, but still fine for the most part. Those guys are going to get they're going to provide your offense. Going into the game against the Hornets, they were third in scoring in the entire league. It was like averaging 88.8 points a game. Now, I understand that's an issue if the bench isn't providing lift, but Marcus Smart is scoring over 10 points a game, too. So you're getting it from other guys.
And there are additional reinforcements coming on the bench. Ennis Cantor's a guy that's going to give you, hopefully, 12, 14 points a night. But the larger question here that I want people to think about as we make our way to the break here, Nick, is if Ordway is correct, he's a guy that has been around the league. I know it's been 30 years since he was day-to-day around the league, but he knows his basketball. So as a guy that's been around the league, Nick, is he advocating here that the Celtics should either A, take one of their three star wing players, because right now they do have three legitimate star wing players. It's no longer, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the corpse of Gordon Hayward. That is no longer the case here. Gordon Hayward is legitimately playing at a fringe all-star level so far this year, averaging north of 20 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, 4 assists. These are great numbers. So is the answer to take one of those three and to have them be the star of your bench? Is the answer to have one of those three go to the bench, still get 30, 35 minutes a night, all the shots they want, but to anchor that bench unit? Or is there the possibility, if Gordon Hayward continues to play like this, and I heard this teased a few times this week, does he become potential trade bait later on in the season?
Jalen?
No.
Gordon.
Gordon.
Sorry,
Because Gordon, what? Gordon becomes, I don't want to move Gordon, but I've heard people talking about it this week. If he continues playing like this, do you potentially trade him? It's a very tradable contract. He's got an option out at the end of the year if he wants to take it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's attractive to teams looking to potentially dump a salary. Is there a need that you could fill and not lose much offensive efficiency? Because let's face it, when they were down Jalen Brown, they still scored at an elite level. Mm-hmm. If they're down Hayward, they're still going to score at an elite level. Putting the ball in the basket is not going to be that big of a challenge for this team, or at least getting points in one way or the other. So do you take your area of strength and use it to potentially fill an area of weakness on this team, or do you just leave it alone?
I would not trade Gordon Hayward. No shot in hell, Gilroy, because one of the big things is the switchability that this team has. And as much as, again, it's nice to have scorers off the bench, and I was the first one in the preseason saying it'd be great if they brought Jalen Brown off the bench. But what Brad has been doing so far, the way he's rotating guys in and out, and splitting time with both the Williamses and Smart, and getting them mixed in with the starters, I don't think they should change anything with getting rid of Hayward. Those guys are getting their rest and still getting their time. You see it. They're getting plenty of shots up. There's plenty of shots to go around for them. No, I mean, the only thing they need is a big man who can help defend. That's their one move away. That would be the move, I would say, that they could make.
And again, you know, Glenny Basketball Ordway, he thinks that the Celtics' biggest area of weakness, something that potentially could do this team in come playoff time, is the fact that they don't go 11, 12, 13 deep like they used to do. It didn't work for Glenn then, and it doesn't work for Glenn now. So I don't know exactly what he's looking for from this basketball team, but Celtics fans out there, the team is 6-1. Is this legitimate? Have your expectations changed? And most importantly, does Glenn have a point? Is what Glenn is saying something that rings true to Celtics fans out there? Because if it does, I want to hear about it. I really do. I watch this team. I love what I'm seeing so far. And Nick is 1,000% correct. What they've done so far through 7 games is they've properly rotated in and out those bench players, and they've mixed in just enough offensive firepower by giving these guys the right rest at the right times. It's never, unless it's garbage time, you know, Carson Edwards, Grant Williams, Robert Williams, you don't get that type of lineup. Mm-hmm. It's always those three mixed in with Jalen Brown and Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. You always have one or two of those three in there at all times. So I want to get into this mix of talent. The biggest concern that many Celtics fans had going into the season was, how are you going to get enough touches, enough shots, enough action for these 4-star players that the Celtics have? Well, they've done it successfully through the first 7 games of the season. Is it time to look at potentially tweaking this thing down the line? Is it time to look at yourself and say, okay, Gordon Hayward, he's now a viable player in the NBA. It's no longer an albatross of a contract. Do you try to cash that thing in while he's got value? Do you look at a guy like Jalen Brown and look at him as potential trade bait? Or are you like me? Do you look at this team and say, this is the way the NBA has been trending for years? The Celtics are simply doing what Golden State's done better for the last half a dozen years. We'll get into that and a whole hell of a lot more with you guys alongside Nick Fryer right here on Sports Radio WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Walker driving by Washington, gets his first two.
Finally. Walker.
Look away. Brown finishes. What a pass by Kemba Walker.
Here comes Tatum, works into Graham outside. Walker three.
Got it. Kemba Walker.
Walker. Nice fake.
Got it. Three.
Walker got the screen, pops the three. Got it! Kemba Walker. He is caught fire here in the second half.
I love Kevin Harlan. I love him. I just think he's so talented. And he can make, you know, grandma making cookies sound exciting.
He's got a great voice.
He does. Now, there's one particular highlight that I can't stand. It makes me cringe. It makes me a little bit sick when he said about LeBron James, no regard for human life. That's go away. Like, I hate that over-the-top stuff. But when it's Kemba Walker draining threes, I could listen to it all day long. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's late night. It's Gilroy. Nick Fryer sitting in here talking about the Boston Celtics with you guys. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. Again, Nick, not a lot of problems with the Celtics at 6-1. Everybody really thriving, buying in, playing well. That hasn't stopped the rumor mongering out there on the internet. And the fact is this, and I've heard this from quite a few people, even on SportsCenter, I believe it was last night, Stephen A. Smith talking about the Celtics, saying that they're potentially one player away. One player away, one player away. And here's the dangerous part about that one player away conversation. To get that one player that puts you up there with Milwaukee, that puts you up there with the best teams in the NBA, it's going to cost you one of these four-star players that we're talking about. Kemba Walker's not going anywhere. Jason Tatum is not going anywhere. So now you're talking about Gordon Hayward, you're talking about Jaylen Brown, potentially a Marcus Smart, and or some of these draft picks that the Celtics have accumulated. And yes, Danny still has great draft picks in his back pocket that could potentially be used to alter this basketball team. But Brian Windhorst a couple days ago, you know, he reported that the Celtics may be considering a trade for Clint Capella of the Houston Rockets and or Steven Adams of the OKC Thunder. Then on the heels of that, there's reports about the Celtics inquiring about Draymond Green. Okay, and we're talking about packages, according to Windhorst, that involve and include Jaylen Brown, involve Marcus Smart, and a first-round pick. So does your team, Nick, get better if you give up Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and a pick that I don't care about right now? I'll care about it next year. But does your team get better or worse if you bring in Draymond Green or Steven Adams and you have to say goodbye to Marcus Smart and potentially a Jaylen Brown?
So it's a different conversation for all three of those guys. Clint Capella, for any of those guys, no. Steven Adams, same thing. They're solid players. They would be nice adds to the group you have now. So if you got rid of Cantor and then brought them in, yeah, then that would be a different conversation. But no.
Yeah, but nobody's trading $5 million salary in Chris Cantor.
Exactly.
And his Cantor for one of these guys.
Exactly. But when it comes to Draymond, it's a different conversation. I still don't know that I'd want to do it now. If you had asked me before the season, I would have said absolutely, because I didn't know what Jaylen Brown, Tatum, or Hayward was going to look like. That would have been a different conversation. But he's not as good of an offensive player as those guys are. Yes, he's awesome. He's an elite defender. It helps Marcus Smart out a ton. I mean, Draymond can cover pretty much anybody. But still, I don't like that move because he just doesn't provide the offense that the other four guys are going
to
help you
with. Okay, but if you add Draymond Green to this basketball team, looking at the short term only, and you still hold on to Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward, are you now a championship contender?
I think it... I don't know if that makes you... Right now, they're looking like a team that could make a run. I'm not saying that they necessarily are. They could make a run. With Draymond, they would still be able to make a run. Absolutely. He's a winning player. He still can score. He's just not on the same level. I just don't. But my thing is, and I think Corrales wrote about it the other day too, over at Mass Live. It's not going to happen. Why are the Warriors going to give him up unless they're going to make a push at Giannis? That's the only way they're going to give up Draymond at this point.
Look, the Warriors don't know what they're doing. They're a team in flux right now. The fact is, you had reports come out yesterday that said that Steph was going to miss the rest of the season. I am sure that their management in Golden State came out today with a tweet saying that, no, we're denying that report. He's going to play later on in the season. We'll reevaluate in February because the NBA is changing on the fly here how they're going to take the whole tanking conversation.
Yeah.
The punishments are looming, and there's no real guidelines put in place. It's a dangerous time if you're a tanking team this year because Adam Silver came out in the offseason. He railed against it. The new CBA is still a couple of years away, that conversation, so they can't really do much right now officially to implement particular punishments. But you better believe that if he believes that a team is purposely tanking this year, they're going to get the worst punishment that's ever been handed out for something like that.
But they're not going to be able to do it quite yet. It's going to happen. It's going to be coming. But they, yes, in the long term, they need to be careful of it.
They need to be very careful with that. So it's in the team's best interest to deny a report like that about a Steph Curry.
Yes.
But the question becomes, I mean, if the Celtics are in fact that close, see, this is where you and I differ. Because I feel like a guy like a Clint Capella absolutely solves a lot of the problems you have here. You don't need another guy that can score the basketball. You need a guy that's going to be a rim runner, that's going to protect the rim, that is going to rebound at an elite level, and a guy that can play with these fast-paced players and continue to play in transition. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what a Clint Capella gives you. Where Draymond, he wants to get his. And one of the worries we had about this Celtics team going into the year, Nick, was, are you going to have enough shots for all these guys? And that's why I love the idea of starting a guy like Robert Williams and bringing Cantor in off the bench. Because if Cantor's with that first unit, he needs to get his. The only value he brings to this team is his ability to score. That's all he can do well. He can score the basketball in the post for a big man.
Not a bad rebounder,
but let's face it. He gives up just as many points as he scores. I mean, that's been the knock on him.
No, that's fair.
Okay?
That's definitely fair.
But when you have Robert Williams out there, he scores accidentally a few times. He's the recipient of some nice alley-oop passes, a couple of put-back opportunities.
Right.
But you don't run plays for him. He takes zero shots away from guys that need the shots, like Gordon Hayward, like Jason Tatum, like Jaylen Brown. You know, that, to me, is more important to this group of Celtics than anything else out there.
Definitely, but when we're talking about acquiring a Draymond Green or a Clint Capella, we're not talking about just taking them and inserting them on this team. Like you said, you have to give something up. So you're prepared to give up Jaylen with how he started and everything, and you want to give him up for Draymond?
No, I don't want to give.
For Clint Capella. I'm sorry.
What I'm saying here is that it amazes me, Nick, that you've got hundreds of comments on these from Celtics fans that are all in, that like the idea because these guys have star power. You know, you've got guys out there with legitimate star power, and people now believe that the Celtics are potentially one player away. And there's still a huge segment of Celtics fans that don't believe in the potential of Jaylen Brown, that really feel that Jaylen Brown, right now, if you could trade him, they would.
I like how he looks. And defensively, too, I mean, when we talk about Marcus Smart and how he handles the wings, Jaylen Brown's a big part of that, too. He's one of their better on-the-ball defenders, for sure. And the switchability is huge. That's why I say Draymond, he'd be the guy who I'd be kind of open to with it, because, again, he has this a winning pedigree. He's been there before. He's done it. He knows how to do the little things, and he brings a level of tenacity to this team. You already have it with Smart and everything, but he's a different player. At the same time, I like how these guys are kind of mixing together right now. To take him and insert him on this team, there are going to be growing pains with that right away.
But are you a better basketball team in the postseason? That's my ultimate question, because to me, now I think the conversation has shifted a little bit. This is no longer just about feeling better about this team compared to last year. Going into the season, you tell me you're going to win 49, 50 games, get your fan base back, and lose in the second round, but I'll enjoy watching Celtic basketball again? I was okay with that. My expectations were relatively low for this year. Last year, I went into the season with all these massive expectations, and it sucked. It absolutely sucked watching what happened last year. So I changed my mindset this year. I set the bar much lower based on all these questions that we started the show talking about, right? What were the odds that all these questions were going to be answered in a positive manner? So far, they have. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they've improved their play pretty dramatically, and Gordon Hayward is averaging north of 20 points a game again. Like, what were the odds that all of those things were going to happen?
When all the talking heads, like on the national shows and everything, were counting out the Celtics, and they were talking about Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, I was saying the entire time, how the hell are you just overlooking Gordon Hayward? I understand that he did not look like the guy you wanted him to last year, but this entire time I've been thinking, there's still a lot there. And we've seen it with Paul George. And I know it's one guy, and it's the one I always hammer on, but he took some time to become what he now is again, and he's better than he was, different player a little bit, but he's better than what he was when he was in Indiana. He was an MVP candidate last year. So I didn't think Hayward was going to turn into that, and I don't know, Hayward could take another step next year, but I just never understood overlooking him, and I've always been higher on Jaylen Brown, I think, than the average Celtics fan.
I mean, when you look at this team right now, and here's what it comes down to for me, is I don't think I would mess with it. I think that right now, everything is really clicking in a positive manner, and I don't mess with what the Celtics are right now. I'm confident in their ability to win and continue to win. Now, if something happens in a month, 2 months, 3 months, and there's a change in the dynamic here, and suddenly somebody's not thriving, suddenly somebody's unhappy with their shots, maybe you make a move then. But right now, your team is playing some of the best basketball we've ever seen them play under Brad Stevens. Matter of fact, they're off to their best start they've ever had under Brad Stevens. So when you look at this team, if it's not broken, why are you trying to fix it? And that's what pisses me off about Ordway and his conversation, is condescending tones and his little mouse behind him chirping in his ear saying, yeah, go get Gilroy. Like, it really bothers me to no end. And here's the fact of the matter is this. If the Celtics are a team that's looking like potentially that they're a team that could go to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, and if Brad feels and if Danny feels that they still need some additional scoring off the bench, you don't have to trade away one of your star players to fill that need, to fill that niche. There are guys that will be available. Hell, there's guys available right now that are more talented scorers than what the Celtics have. So if that is going to do them in, go sign 39-year-old Jamal Crawford. He was still putting up points last year.
Yeah.
His last game of the season, I think he had 50 points last year. Go sign Joe Johnson, who was in camp with the Pistons. I mean, the point
he got
is
hurt, though, I think.
There are guys out there,
yes,
that can fill the basket up if that's what the Celtics need.
Right. They don't need that. And that's why when we jump to getting rid of, you know, going to Draymond Green or Steven Adams and those star level guys, that's not what I'm thinking at all when it's one piece away. And I don't know if that's, I haven't paid attention as much to everybody else who's writing about it, but I don't. That's not what they need. You need, ideally, it's an Aaron Baines type guy. And I, you know what? I thought about it the other day too when he, took Ben Simmons to town. Could they have somehow still kept him? But I guess because he opted out, they couldn't necessarily just sign him on an exception, like the exception they signed Cantor to. So there wasn't a way they could have kept him and still gotten Kemba and did all the things that they did.
Let me ask you this hypothetically then. So I believe the date is December 15th, when guys that signed can be traded, essentially. I think that's the date. So if the Celtics wanted to try to get in on an Aaron Baines, could they trade for him in season this year, or do you have to wait till next year?
I don't. With Baines, Baines, unfortunately, they probably won't be able to get because Phoenix is actually playing very well right now.
Do you expect that to keep up, though?
I didn't expect them to do this at the start, and they're beating good teams.
Yeah, I mean, so far,
that's
so
the thing.
Good.
They're beating good teams.
But
so, like,
that's because Aaron Baines is carrying them. That can't possibly last.
Booker's looking a lot better, too.
Booker's a
They're
great
doing
player.
It without Ayton, too, which is that's surprising. But yeah, they could definitely make a move. I don't know what it will be. We haven't touched on the whole Cantor thing.
I want to get to that. We'll get to that because we got to go to a break here. But there's something funny going on with Enes Kanter. I don't quite understand it. Going into the season,
that's the weird one.
He was active on social media. Even the first handful of games of the season, he was out there really pumping up his team on social media. The social media activity has really petered out in the last couple of weeks. I feel like he's starting to get frustrated. I talked to you, talked to other guys that are there at practice all the time. Telling me he's looking pretty good out there. He's telling the press that he's been ready to play for a while.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're getting reports today that he again is not going to play tomorrow when the Celtics are in San Antonio. So, Nick Fryer, I mean, you're the insider. You're there all the time. When we come back, I want to get into this whole thing with you about Enes Kanter. He had pretty big expectations. His role was supposed to be relatively large on this team going into the season. The Celtics are thriving without him. So, are they just biding their time and potentially waiting to trade him come mid-December, or do you think that Enes Kanter still has a large role on this basketball team? It just hasn't started yet. We'll get into that and more with you guys at 617-779-7937.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
I play with a team. I see the head coach as a leader. And I think, I think Brad Stevens is doing an unbelievable job. He's the type of coach that tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I think, just throughout the season or every year I come here and just see how he's leading his team. And I think, this team has something very special. I feel like a hardworking team, the disciplined team, dedication team, I think we can just beat every team on every floor if we stay together and if we're willing to learn.
Man, going into the season, Enes Kanter was the guy always in front of the microphone, always the guy on social media, ultra positive about this basketball team. And it wasn't fair of Celtics fans and the Celtics media to put him in the position that they put him in. Again, I bring up Ordway because he and the OMF team would love to go back to, especially with me, because of my love and affection for Al Horford, they would love to say, you know, Cantor's no Al Horford. And they're right about that, by the way. It's not like a hot take to say that Enes Kanter is no Al Horford. Now, you and your five out people sort of had a good time with this because you isolated a portion of what I said, where when I said he's going to give you 14 points and 8 rebounds a game, eerily similar to what Al Horford gives you, and you took that and ran with
it. We got to have you on. We're going to get, because Tyler stands by by the cut.
I bet he does. You know, Tyler's got the power of the edit button back there.
He does.
He's a king at slicing and dicing and putting things together to make it sound natural. That's fine. Okay. Tyler also has the power to give me a fill-in role during the holidays and summer vacation. So Tyler can do whatever he wants to my sound. I don't care, as long as I'm on his speed dial when they need somebody in there. But, you know, Enes Kanter, to me, this is a real shame what's happening right now, because, Nick, again, there's no real answer to the question why Enes Kanter isn't playing right now.
No, there isn't. I think it was right before Jaylen Brown came back in the Charlotte series. They said how he was still questionable after he was out against Cleveland. One of the reports that I had when he was ruled out, I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. I think I literally wrote, he must have the worst bruise ever. Or I tweeted that out today. This is unbelievable. He's out against the Spurs already. Already ruled out today. They could have waited till tomorrow to rule him out. They've done it plenty of times.
Has anybody, this is the job of you Celtics writers.
Yep.
Has anybody put the microphone in front of Brad's face and asked him flat out why he's not playing?
I think he was asked early on, and I think he's kind of fallen out of everybody's mind. I'm not there on the road, so I can't ask him that right now.
Let me ask you a stupid question. We'll get to the call in 1 second, but a stupid question. If the Celtics were 500 right now, would they be more apt to bring him back? In other words, at his age, he's been in the league for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a great performer in the postseason last year. Are they looking at him and thinking, okay, there's no need to rush him back because he's a little bit older, there's some miles on those knees, let's make sure he's better than 100% before we put him out here?
I think either way that they would be confident in what they're doing, and I don't know that what Kanter, look, it was the first game, but I don't know if they looked at it and say, yeah, he's going to go and put us over the top. I think they might have maybe re-examining everything else that was going wrong. I just think that there's an issue with, his defense is an issue, and I wonder if they look at it and it's like, this is worse than we thought it was going to be. And maybe they're trying to spend more time on it. I just think that they're down on him in some capacity at this point. It's just my speculation, because he said to us right when he was like reactivated.
Yep.
He said, "Oh, I was ready to go come back for the Toronto game." That was game two.
That was weeks ago at this point. That was about two weeks ago.
He's been out for 2 weeks now, Gilroy.
Yeah. So it's the point now where the questions are getting louder and louder about Enes Kanter. Look, not one of the players you're going to lean on to win a championship, but he was right there. You know, when the Celtics brought in Kemba Walker, he was there as part of that press conference. The Celtics made a big deal out of the acquisition of Enes Kanter, and now he's suddenly sort of MIA from everything, from the commercials, from social media, and certainly from the games.
Yeah, and he's, you want bench scoring, he's going to provide you some bench scoring. He looked like he might come off the bench for them in some capacity. I think that would be a good move, have him and Smart come off the bench together. But I don't know, Gilroy. It's just looking more and more like he's not part of the plans. It's early, but it doesn't look good right now.
It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Late Night. It's Gilroy. It's Nick Fryer. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937, talking about your first place Boston Celtics. And it's amazing to me that this team is thriving. They're playing incredibly well. And if you just go into the Twitter machine and type in, trade Gordon Hayward, everything that comes up, it's banana land out there. And I feel like there is a sense from Celtics fans, and I don't blame them, there's a sense from Celtics fans that the play of Gordon Hayward, the level of play that he's playing at right now, is not going to keep up for the remainder of the season. So they're looking to cash in this chip while this chip is relatively hot. It's the only explanation that I can come up with. But let's get to some of these calls here. Let's go to Shin. Shin is in Chelsea. Shin, you're first up here on WEI.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Regarding Gordon Hayward, he's a big reason the Celtics are playing this well at the beginning of the season. I don't understand these fans, like air quotes, fans that you're talking about on Twitter. They want to trade this guy when he might potentially have, one of his best or greater seasons, and he's going to be in a Celtics uniform. People are saying, like the first game, of the season or second game, I was at the Garden, the fans basically just say, Gordon sucks, and that's when he put up, 35 or something, or, 22 in, the second half. Like, this is Gordon Hayward when he's healthy, he's with the Jazz, this is what he looked like, so, and then now we're going to trade him? I really don't understand that at all, so would not like that. And just regarding Kanter, I'm not exactly sure why he's not playing, but if anything, it's actually, going pretty well, because Tice is getting a lot of playing time. He's looking really good out there, especially the past two games. Rob Williams, Time Lord, you know, looking good too, looking like he's taking another big step. And Grant Williams, you know, also just a rookie stepping in there. So this Celtics team is looking great. Can't forget about the Jays. Don't trade Gordon Hayward. Gordo's the man. He's looking like his Utah self. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
All right, man. I appreciate the phone call. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. It's Gilroy. It's Nick Fryer talking hoops with you guys until midnight tonight. And again, you know, the Celtics at 6-1. The Celtics thriving right now. A little bit of a dust-up in their win last night. Marcus Smart, he gets fined $15,000 for his comments about the referees. But also, Nick, a little pushback between Nick and Brad Stevens, between Smart and Brad Stevens. So it's funny to me when Marcus Smart gets into a little dust-up with his head coach, it's considered leadership and a good thing. And even Brad said it in his post-game comments that he loves this about Marcus Smart. This is what he said, right?
Yeah.
But when Kyrie did it, it was disruptive. It was something that was a team chemistry killer, and it was something that people point to last year, that Orlando game, as one of the potential first sort of signs of demise for that Celtics team last February. So why is it okay when Marcus Smart does it, but not okay when other players do?
Well, the simplest reason is time. They've been together Smart's been on the team for 6 years now.
He's the elder statesman of this basketball team.
So he's been around. There's a rapport that they have. And it's, I mean, look, I don't want to get too, like, nitty-gritty with it, but I mean, there's something about the tone and the tenor of the conversation that he's having and what Smart's getting upset about and what Kyrie used to get upset about with. On one hand, you're talking about, you know, fight for me, and then the other hand, you're talking about game plan and how you screwed this up, whatever. I don't know Kyrie's words specifically when it came to that, but we know what Smart was talking about last night. He wants him to fight for him, but at the same time, there are layers to that conversation, and there's a different... Look, there was talk of Kyrie mocking Brad in some of his press conferences last year. I remember hearing that they got, what was it? I think the line was, we got to play better.
Yep.
And Kyrie said that a lot.
Yep, got to coach better. And Kyrie would say, we got to coach better. Like,
yes.
It's one thing when Belichick, when Belichick says we have to coach better, he's talking about himself. You never hear Tom Brady say we have to coach better. You know what I mean? The mm-hmm. Patriots are famous for, we have to play better, we have to coach better, offense, defense, special teams. That's their company line.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody who gives that line tweaks it a little bit and makes it apply to themselves. Kyrie never made it apply to himself. Where Marcus Smart, you know, I felt like Marcus, if he's really going to take that next step in his leadership, right, and potentially it someday be named the team captain here, which is fans are clamoring for that this year for whatever reason. Maybe you think so?
I think absolutely. Remember what he was when he was at Oklahoma State?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's come a long way since being a teenager. Yeah, but.
Yes, he has. But I mean, look, he's the heart and soul of the team. All the guys are going to say that first. Every single one of those players will say that if you ask them. It's honestly a dumb question at this point, right? With a guy like that who runs on emotion and his game is reliant on that, you're going to have times where he's going to lose his mind on people. And it's not because he doesn't like you or doesn't care about it. It's because he cares about what you're doing and what's going on. And he's all in, and he's trying to help make sure that you do the right things too. So when Brad is not doing something he necessarily likes, he's going to speak his mind because they know where it's coming from. And it's always... it's an emotional place, but it's a good place.
All right, something to think about here as we go to break, Nick, is Marcus Smart. You know, he is the heart and soul of this team. He's also sort of this team's defensive, sort of impactful player. He's the guy that other teams have to fear. It's been made a lot of this year that Marcus can defend 1 through 5, and he has shown that ability. But when Kevin Garnett was here, he was the guy that held everybody else accountable defensively. Draymond Green did a very similar thing during the heyday of Golden State. You always have to have one of those enforcer-type guys that, A, makes the opposition think twice before going to the basket, and, B, holds their team accountable defensively. But can your enforcer really be a 6'3" backcourt guy? That's something I want you to think about before we come back. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Gilroy. It's Nick Fryer. When we come back, look, if you're on the line, stay on the line. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. We'll have a little conversation with him, see how Greeny is holding up right now. I got a feeling Greeny's going to be a little bit excited about the start for the Celtics. We'll talk to Greeny and then take more of your phone calls when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.